It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization and get the latest from Minnesota's American Legion. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
As the cold of Minnesota's winter sets in, please take the time to prepare yourself and your family for a safe and enjoyable season. First, as you plan your winter travels, know before you go. Check on current weather warnings and always plan for extra time on the roads. Also, be sure to prepare an emergency survival kit for your vehicle. Next, dress for the cold and know the signs of frostbite. On some of our coldest days, cold weather injuries like gray, waxy, numb, frostbite-affected skin, or even hypothermia can set in quickly. Finally, at home, be sure to check your carbon monoxide detectors. Without its warnings, a broken furnace can quietly lead to tragic consequences. Whether you are one of our airmen or soldiers, part of our family, or part of our larger Minnesota community, we wish you and yours a happy and safe winter season.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Annette, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be here.
How are our Yellow Ribbon networks going?
We're doing quite well with our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. Thanks to all the great communities that are participating across the state, we're up to 98 networks in 226 communities and 26 counties. And we're growing our Yellow Ribbon Company program. So we're up to 59 Yellow Ribbon Companies.
And that's over a period of, what, about 8 years or so?
Yes, we're about, our first Yellow Ribbon Network will be celebrating 10 years in 2018.
Oh, my, you've been busy.
Yes, it has been just phenomenal how the communities and companies across Minnesota have been responding to our program.
And you've brought a guest with us today for another new Yellow Ribbon company.
Yes, I'm so proud of Regents Hospital in St. Paul. They've done a great job this year becoming our Yellow Ribbon company. And today I have with me Wendy Waddell, and she's the Director of Inpatient Mental Health at Regents Hospital. She's been there for 12 years. And she developed the Lee and Penny Anderson Hero Care program that you're going to learn a little bit more about. And this started about 3 years ago. And she also led the effort along with her team to become a Yellow Ribbon company. And she's a psychiatric nurse. She's passionate about the care of those who live with mental illness. And she's a daughter of a military veteran. And I have seen how Wendy has led her team at Regents Hospital to look at every area of the organization to really infuse support for service members, veterans, and military families, and to connect in with the St. Paul Yellow Ribbon Network and other Yellow Ribbon networks in the area.
Wendy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you were on the team that went through the process of becoming Yellow Ribbon. So that means you spent quite a bit of time with Annette Kuiper.
I sure did. It was a pleasure every minute. It was a journey of discovery for us. It was a great deal of fun and very meaningful, and it was a pleasure to work with Annette.
Yeah, and I understand there's a certain doctor on the staff of Regents that had a little something to do with becoming a Yellow Ribbon or wanting to become.
We had a lot of shared expectations with General David Hamler, who's one of the physicians at Regents Hospital, and we're proud to say he was on our advisory committee for our Hero Care Veterans Program, as well as our Yellow Ribbon Steering Committee. So we had a lot of input from General Hamler.
And he recently retired from the Minnesota Army National Guard as a brevet two-star general, Major General Doc Hamler, and we've had him on the show a number of times. Delightful, but he's still on the staff over at Regents, isn't he?
He is, and he was just at our Yellow Ribbon Committee meeting last week, and I told him I would be here with you, and he warned me not to let you harass me too much today, Tom.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sitting at attention. Report to the general.
I think he said he would encourage you to do so. So he may have gotten that confused.
Sir, yes, sir. I'll take care of that. Wendy, can you share with us the process? How long did it take and what all was involved?
I believe we started last year looking at the major points of interest to become a Yellow Ribbon company. And we had sort of put it on the back burner for just a little bit because we had some other things we were focusing on. And then to be totally transparent, General Hamler's impending retirement kind of loomed in front of us, and he was so involved with us, with HeroCare and with the Yellow Ribbon Company recognition, that we really wanted to finish it for him before he left his retired from his military career. So overall, it probably took us about a year looking at all of the guidelines, but we got a lot accomplished in the final 2 months, I would say.
And so for our companies out there listening to us that might not already be Yellow Ribbon, what type of things did you have to consider when you were putting together your plan?
We really had to consider how we could help our veterans, our military members, what we could commit to as an organization. What we really needed to do was have leadership support first and foremost. Our hospital senior leadership team was extremely supportive. And so we had to have that before we even started. Then we set up a committee made up of veterans or military service members that currently worked at the hospital. We had to have a human resources specialist because a lot of the steps that we were undertaking had to do with human resource policies and procedures. So we actually had two specialists from human resources. We had employee health involved, and we had education and leadership resources as well. So we took on the task as a group. And so that was the major consideration, was to have a group of people.
So, Wendy, how many veterans does Region employ?
You know, I don't currently have those numbers. What we've done recently is been able to send out a survey to all employees and have them self-identify as veterans. And so we've received a fairly large number of responses, but it's because we have to rely on the self-identification, it's lower than the actual number.
Which means on your normal application for employment, that's not one of the questions you've been asking.
Correct. We have not been asking that.
So then you had to go out and say, okay, how many of you want to tell us you're veterans or not?
Right. And we were very pleased that we had over 60 responses, but out of a staff of 7,000 staff, I believe, Regents Hospital has, it's a pretty low number. But we've started the process. We certainly want to keep reviewing the situation with HR and with our legal team and determining what questions we can ask, because we'd really love to know each and every veteran, military service member, family member that works for us.
But of course, these days we have to be careful what data we try to collect, right?
Correct. Yes.
So has Regions made a commitment to hire more veterans as well?
Yes, we have. We have already started sending our recruiters to job fairs that appeal to military members. We've started researching, working with some student veteran association groups at different universities and colleges. We have done some specific training with our recruiters. We're looking at how we can use social media more effectively to recruit veterans. We would love to hire veterans at Regents Hospital. I've been talking to Annette earlier about employment mentor programs. I'm excited to take that back to our group and say, let's look at how we can assist with that process.
So, ladies, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about Regents Hospital. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Wendy Waddell, who is the Director of Inpatient Mental Health at Regents Hospital in St. Paul. Been there for 12 years, and she was on the steering committee that helped Regents achieve yellow ribbon status for Regents Hospital. And also, we have Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Military Affairs, in the studio. Almost put you in a different department, Annette. We don't want to do that.
You did, but that's our partner department, so that's okay.
As all of our regular listeners know, Annette is our yellow ribbon lady, and she's been very busy for the past decade helping take care of military families all over Minnesota by enlisting companies and communities to become yellow ribbon. And Wendy, I want to come back to you. I've grown up on the west side of the Twin Cities my entire life, and we've got a lot of listeners in outstate Minnesota might not be familiar with Regents Hospital. Can you give them just a little flavor of the hospital and the size and the great work that you do over there?
Sure. Regents Hospital is in downtown St. Paul. It is a 400-plus bed facility that's part of the Health Partners family of care, one of the six hospitals owned by Health Partners. And we are a level one adult and pediatric trauma center. We're also known for our mental health care. I have to brag on my mental health department, but we have...
Director of Inpatient Mental
correct.
Health at Regents. Okay,
so we have 100 inpatient mental health beds, as well as some partial hospital programming. So we're very proud of our mental health department at Regents Hospital.
Now, one of the things I understand that Regents has done is you have a Hero Care program, which has become a national model for how hospitals can care for and connect with veteran patients. Can you tell me a little about that program?
I'd love to. About 3 years ago, we felt that we needed to do more for our veterans who were patients at Regents Hospital. We knew that often our patients were veterans and we weren't recognizing them or providing any special services. So with the help of Lee and Penny Anderson as donors to our program, we created the Hero Care Veterans Program. We have three veterans who are on staff. Two are social workers, one's an occupational therapist, and they see every patient who enters Regents Hospital, both mental health area and medical surgical areas, to see if they have any needs related to their military service. The first year we started, we had one advocate, and we thought our goal was that she would see approximately 60 patients in the year. She ended up seeing over 200 patients the first year, and she wasn't able to see everybody, so we were able to expand the program. So now we've helped connect with over 2,600 veterans in the 3 years, and these are veterans who have been admitted to Regents Hospital. So they help with everything from a quick hello and exchange of a challenge coin to assistance with VA benefits. We have helped transfer patients to the VA facilities. And we've even helped families that are going through the death of the patient to help them get set up with Fort Snelling Cemetery and burial plans. So it's a pretty outstanding program.
So like most of the hospitals in the Twin Cities, you work closely with the VA Medical Center.
We consider ourselves very strong partners with the VA Medical Center. We have had a steering committee or an advisory committee since we started Hero Care, and we've had two members from the VA hospital on that advisory committee since day one, and we have had great relationships. In fact, they have built our model and had some hired some social workers to work in community hospitals, kind of mirrored after Hero Care. We think every hospital should have veterans on staff that see to the needs of the veterans who are patients.
Well, maybe you can walk me through this. If I'm a veteran, if I was over in St. Paul and was in a car accident and they took me to Regents and took care of me and now I'm in a room, am I going to see your veteran care advocate?
You bet. You'll be asked on admission, or a family member will be asked on admission, if you yourself have served in the military or associated with a family member that has. It's a simple yes-no question. Then the advocates would have their list of people who had answered yes, and they will come and meet you and find out if you have any needs specific to your veteran status. Over and above every other care that you'll get awesome care for the trauma, and you'll get awesome social work care, nursing care, but you'll also have the extra special veterans care from one of our advocates.
And if I'm a veteran who's eligible for care at the VA Medical Center, you'll give me the emergency care I need, and when things are stabilized, then possibly transfer me out to the VA Medical
Center?
Correct,
and we'll even call ahead and make sure that there's what we call a warm handoff so that nothing falls through the cracks, and we make sure that your care is continuous and supported, and it's within your financial means or your insurance means, et cetera.
So you really go out of your way to coordinate with the VA if you've got veterans, especially veterans that are eligible for VA Medical Center care.
Correct. We also will coordinate with any community organization. We have close relationships with the County Veteran Service Officers. We have a close relationship with Eagle's Nest Center up in Sauk City, I believe it is, Sauk Rapids. So we provide lots of different services for our veterans for their discharge planning.
Well, Wendy, it sounds like you're doing a great job over at Regions Hospital. Congratulations on becoming a Yellow Ribbon, being proclaimed a Yellow Ribbon company in the Twin Cities. Thanks for coming to the studio today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Annette, you found another great company to join your crew.
Absolutely. We really are looking at our healthcare industries throughout Minnesota to add more to our Yellow Ribbon Company group because we know those are jobs of the future, and we know that's where they can help us identify service members and veterans in need of help, and Regions has certainly led the way in that.
Annette, I'm looking forward to who you're going to surprise me with next time, the next Yellow Ribbon Company, but thanks for coming to the studio today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Annette Kuiper and Wendy Waddell from Regions Hospital on Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get the latest from Minnesota's American Legion. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Landlords hold the key to helping Minnesota reach the goal of housing every homeless veteran. We pay tribute to the landlords and property owners who are putting an end to veteran homelessness in Minnesota. We are looking for more landlords in Minneapolis and St. Paul who are willing to stand up and put keys in the hands of our heroes. If you're a landlord who is interested in giving our heroes a second chance, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org. Housing homeless veterans is only possible through the willingness of landlords now and in the future to open their doors to Minnesota veterans and bring them all the way home. Call 1-888-LINK-VET to join the movement.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Mike Schaefer of Fulda, Minnesota, was elected Department Commander of the Minnesota American Legion at the organization's annual convention in July of 2017. His theme for the year is learning from the past and mentoring in the present to prepare for the future. He will work on special projects, including scholarships to the Boys State Program and raising money and awareness to help prevent veteran suicides. Mike, welcome to the studio and welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thank you for having us back.
How's your year going so far?
It's hard to believe it's been 6 months already, but it's been busy. It's been a lot of fun. I've met a lot of great people and made a lot of more people aware of what the organization is and can do.
And I'll bet you put a lot of miles on your car.
Let's just say I'm past 18,000 and it's only been 6 months, and I'm just getting warmed up, I think.
Well, it goes all too fast. By the time it'll be just about over when you know everything that you should have known when you started, right?
So the theory goes.
Mike, let's go back a few years. You're a fellow airman.
I am indeed.
When did you join?
1970. I went in January of that year and went down to Texas for my basic training. And a bunch of guys in the unit were all from southern states. And to stand out on the flight line at 5:30 in the morning, and they were shivering to beat heck and wondering how we could stand it. Well, sure, I was from Minnesota, and I was shivering too, but I wasn't going to let them have the comfort of knowing that I was too.
Of course, you told them it was nice and warm. What's
Absolutely.
Wrong?
It was a heat wave.
Well, I understand you were stationed in Alaska and in the Philippines.
I did. 2 years in Alaska at Elmendorf. And got in on some very interesting fishing trips while I was up there, and had a few other good things happen, but most of them, because of security clearance, I couldn't tell you about anyway. So,
some cushy duty.
It was all right. It was all right. The biggest fun we had was when the C-5s first came up in the early 70s. So this was like 71, I think. The first one came up to Elmendorf and landed, and when he came in, it was a new pilot. He came in too hard, too fast, and set it down too quick. And to say that he blew half the tires on the airplane was not out of reality, because that's what happened.
He got your attention.
Well, they closed the runway for 6 weeks.
It would have gotten my attention. And then you served in the Philippines as well.
I did. I spent just over about 14 months over there.
Did you enjoy that time?
Yeah, it was. It was a little spooky going in, because from the time my orders were cut in, I think, September, shortly thereafter, the president of the country at the time was Marcos, and he declared martial law. And I thought, what am I getting into here? You know, turned out it was the best thing that ever happened.
Well, and we survived it, and we're here to talk about it today. Now, how long ago did you become involved in the American Legion?
Oh, boy. Well, the first office I ever got elected to was my local post. I was elected to be the finance officer of the post, and I had gotten discharged in January of 74 and showed up at my second post meeting in April of that year and was promptly elected finance officer of the post. In fact, I was nominated by a World War I veteran who held the office at the time.
So they railroaded you right away.
Pretty close.
Did the same thing to me over in Hopkins. I showed up to a meeting and got elected to a position and sold me a life membership, and here we are.
Yeah.
So that was World War II guys that did me.
Well, I think that kind of follows all generations. But the big difference for me was that when they basically handed me the checkbook and said, here, it's your responsibility, they took the time to explain what the duties were and what I needed to do to do the job. Hence where my theme for the year with mentoring comes into play. It's something that was done for me then, and to this day I do it myself to others that follow behind me.
So you want to continue that. When did you first think that you might go through the state chairs?
Probably about 2000. I thought I would try, you know, I just finished being a district commander in 98, and it seemed like a logical progression, and I kind of wanted to see what some of the state offices were like, and it took a while for some of them to happen, but they did.
And you made it, because now you are the department commander, the head of the Minnesota American Legion, the largest veteran service organization in the state.
That is right, and like I said, I'm absolutely enjoying it.
And Mike, how many members do we have approximately in Minnesota?
72,000 roughly.
So you're taking care of a lot of folks.
Indeed I am.
And one of the things you do as department commander is you're a member of what's called the Commander's Task Force.
Yes.
Which is where the 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations get together,
uh-huh,
combine their membership, and work on legislation that we want to try to improve things for veterans up at the Capitol.
Yes, and that date that you're talking about, the day on the Hill, that's actually coming up pretty quick, March the 12th.
March 12th will be Veterans Day on the Hill. This year there's going to be a free pre-rally breakfast, an information meeting from 8 to 10 a.m. on the fifth floor of the Veterans Service Building. Going to be a rally at the Rotunda from 10 to 11. Regional rooms for lawmakers from 12 to 2. And, of course, all of that's going to be up at the state capitol. And you and the other veteran service organizations are trying to get as many veterans to come and participate as possible.
That's right. I was told last year that there was 5 or 6 busloads that came in. This year they're looking to more than double that. In fact, they're planning on using the park and rides around the state of Minnesota, around the metro area anyway, as a staging area, and then transport them in.
So that's a big event coming up on March 12th. It's only a couple months away.
That's right.
And you and the other commanders at the Commander's Task Force have you usually put together a little booklet, a little explanation of the legislation that's going on. Are you getting close to having that done, Mike?
That is the decision to have the book done was made at our last meeting, which was like a week or so ago. And the agenda that we're going to promote at the Day on the Hill is pretty much set already.
So you've got a number of things that you're trying to accomplish. You had a great year last year, from what I understand, up on the hill.
And, yeah, I know it's going to be hard to even come close to what they were able to accomplish in that session. And but we've got a new set of things that we want to do, and we'll go from there with it and see how it goes.
What are the top couple things you're working on?
Well, they want to do a lifetime homestead market value exclusion for the widows of a deceased veteran. They want to make it, right now it's an 8-year time limit that the spouse would have to use that exclusion.
So if the veteran had disability and they had an exclusion, when they die, then the spouse has a limited period of time for that, and we're trying to make that open-ended.
If they wanted to sell their residence rather than stay there, if they want to move it, they used to have 8 years that they could use this exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Now they want to make it a permanent exclusion.
Well, they don't get a raise after their spouse dies, so it probably makes sense to make it a permanent thing.
Yeah. If it's a one time they can move to another location, and the market value of the house they sell is basically tax exempt.
Well, that's a good thing to work on. What's next?
The Veterans Court system, right now I understand that it is only in the metro area, and they want to move it out to all of the federal, all the districts, all the court districts in the state of Minnesota.
So right now it's county by county if they put in a veteran.
Pretty much. It's up to the county to do it, and the only two that I know of are right here in the Twin Cities.
Your Washington County is one of them, of course.
I believe so, yeah.
And I think Hennepin or Ramsey is the other one. Now that we should be careful to talk about, because if a veteran gets into some kind of an issue and wants to go to a veteran's court, they're not getting a free ride. Actually, they're getting a harder ride, because they're going to have to go to treatment. They're going to have to work harder in order to be able to qualify in Veterans Court and get clear of whatever the issue was. So we should make sure our listeners know we're not giving anything away there.
Definitely not, because what this court system does is it deals with not only what's going on with the veteran, but if there's a possibility of going into some kind of a related treatment or a diversion program, this can be used. And I think it's a good thing for veterans in particular.
That'll be a good one. Mike, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about Veterans Day on the Hill and some other issues coming up for the American Legion here in Minnesota.
Okay.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Mike Schaefer, who is the department commander for the Minnesota American Legion. And we were talking about, when we took a break, Veterans Day on the Hill, which this year is going to be March 12th. There's going to be a free pre-rally breakfast and information session from 8 to 10 a.m. on the fifth floor of the Veterans Service Building. There'll be a rally in the rotunda from 10 to 11, and then regional rooms for lawmakers from 12 to 2. And, of course, that's all up at the Minnesota State Capitol. The Commander's Task Force, DAV, American Legion, they're trying to arrange buses to offer free rides from across greater Minnesota. There's going to be more information on that at davmn.org. And we're trying to also, Commander, to arrange some park and ride availability for that day as well.
Yes, indeed they are.
And our intent is to get as many veterans up for Veterans Day on the Hill as we can.
Well, when they say they want 15 buses, I think they're probably going to make it.
Well, your membership alone could take care of that.
Pretty close. I think we could probably fill a few.
We talked about a couple of things that are on your agenda for this year. Have you got a couple more you want to touch on?
There is a total of 5 things that the Commander's Task Force came up with, and 2 we've already touched on, but the others are deal with military beneficiary pay, benefits protection, would prevent someone from entering into an agreement with a beneficiary that would assign their benefits over to them for whatever reason that they had. But it would be in violation of now state law, but also would be a federal law as well.
To prevent theft of benefits for...
Well, they don't want them to be able to assign the benefits to somebody else.
Makes sense.
The other other ones on the list deal with asset preservation for the five Minnesota veterans homes and for the state veterans cemeteries in the state of Minnesota for critical repair projects and that kind of thing so that they can upkeep their buildings and the site. Next on the list was a free or reduced cost hunting, fishing licenses. Currently, to qualify for the reduced, you had to have 100% disability rating. They want to lower that to 50%.
So more people to be eligible for
more
that.
More people would be eligible for it, yes.
And it's great to get our veterans out into the fresh air and get them hunting and fishing, isn't it?
I've been to a couple of disabled veterans deer hunts and a fishing outing, and to see the smiles on their faces when they get out there in the woods or on that boat in the lake is absolutely priceless.
Just to get our disabled veterans out of the house and out there in the country.
That's it. To get away from that daily looking at four walls existence, and they get out there in the wild and they're like little kids again.
Great stuff, sir.
Absolutely, it is.
So Veterans Day on the Hill is going to be March 12th. We're going to have on the DAV commander before that, and we'll go through, again, a lot of those issues that you commanders, task force commanders, right, have agreed to for this year. And we'd like to get as many veterans up to the Capitol as we can. Now, Commander, every year the American Legion commander has some commander's projects, and you've got two of them. One of them is Boys State, right, and the other one is to help prevent veteran suicides. How's that going, sir?
Well, I haven't seen the latest printout of how many dollars we've raised, but the Boy State one interested me primarily because as a district chairman at the time, which was going back into the late 80s, into the 90s, I was the Boy State chairman for my district. I held that office for 11 years. And the last 3 years I've been a counselor at the Boy State program itself. And I knew there was a need for kids that wanted to attend the program, but the post or their sponsor maybe only had enough money on hand to send, say, two kids to go to the program. And there was maybe three or four or how many more that were wanting to go but couldn't. And that's where this money will go, to pay their registration fees.
So one of your projects is all over Minnesota this year to raise as much money for Boy States as you can.
Absolutely. That's in the intent.
And if our listeners want to contribute to that, what's the easiest way to do it?
It's Fund 82, Department of Minnesota Commander's Project would get the money there where it needs to go.
So if they go online and look up the Minnesota American Legion, they can probably find some links to that
and contribute. There should be.
And how are you doing on raising awareness to help prevent veteran suicides?
Well, every place I go, if it's to whatever the event is, and right now there's a good number, all the districts are having their midwinter conferences. And so when I'm able to go there, it's something that is mentioned, and it's well known by the veteran community that on a daily basis we lose in excess of 20 veterans a day to suicide. And
we've had some good shows on how to recognize changes that might mean that your veteran is having some issues. And if you go to Minnesota Military Radio, look in the September shows, which is Suicide Prevention Month, we've had experts on that can show you exactly what to do and how to help your veteran, mm-hmm, and how to get help. They can call a VA medical center. There's a veterans hotline. There's a lot of ways to do it. So be aware of changes. If something funny has happened with your favorite veteran, if they're hiding out, if they're not talking, ask them, are you okay? Yeah. And if they're having trouble, call the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. They'll get you some help as soon as they can.
Call somebody, whoever, if it's the veteran service officer in the county, they're aware of this kind of thing. That's kind of the local approach to what maybe getting the ball rolling.
Good place to start almost anything veteran-related is with your
county veteran
service officer.
Pretty much, absolutely, because every county has a veteran service officer in it, and they're well-tuned to what's going on.
And it's their business to know where the resources are.
Absolutely, they do, and most of them are very, very good at it.
Now, Commander, you mentioned the midwinter conferences. How are they going?
Well, right now, every district out of the 10 in the state has a midwinter conference, with the exception of one district, and half of them are completed. There's four more to go. From you name the corner of the state, the one last week was in Thief River Falls, and the other one was in Bryceland. The week before that, it was Albert Lea and Anoka and Minneapolis. And end of the month, it's Hibbing and Morris and LeCenter.
So your membership is busy.
Yeah, they're moving, yes.
And they've got lots of missions and lots of things they want to work on.
A lot of good things happen at the Midwinters. They talk about the programs and kind of what's going on or what's planned for that year.
Very good, sir. We're speaking to Mike Schaefer, who is the department commander of Minnesota's American Legion on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, it's my understanding that the 100th convention for the American Legion is coming up, and it's going to be in August this year. And just like the first convention was here in the Twin Cities, this one's going to be here. And I understand that we've had seven in Minnesota, six in Minneapolis and one in St. Paul, but this is going to be August 24th to the 30th, 100th convention for the American Legion nationwide. You and the and Minnesota gets to host it again. That's a pretty great deal. And putting on a convention costs some money, so you're looking to try to raise some money for that. And also, if you know of any businesses in the area that would like to support veterans' issues, we need to get them rounded up. And third, probably still looking for some volunteers.
They have been working on the volunteers for some months now. In fact, they started almost a year ago. And in fact, the last week, he just got done with one of the district midwinters, and that was one of the things that the chairman that are overseeing this are there and talking about it and lining up volunteers to be there and when. So
there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes.
Oh, absolutely. They've been planning for this for some time now, and the national people from the national organization have been in town, I think, twice already that I'm aware of. And they sit down with the state organization and lay out what the agenda is going to be for the convention.
And they're expecting like 10,000 attendees. That's
that
a lot.
Would probably be largely because I think it's the centennial that it's going to get extra attention, and something like that. To have an organization survive 100 years is unusual in itself, but to have a veterans organization and the loyalties and everything that go with it.
So in August, we're going to have a lot of American Legion men and women in downtown Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy town.
Busy town. So I would assume, once again, if they go to the Minnesota American Legion website, look that up, there's probably an information page there. And
is Jeff Olson
still busy running that?
Who?
Jeff Olson?
Oh, yes. He's still the general chairman.
You haven't worn him out yet?
No. I think he likes it too much.
All right. Well, he's got a big job coming.
I know he does.
Commander, just want to review. You've got a lot of members all over the state. The mission of the American Legion in Minnesota, your posts are out there helping their local communities. They're helping our veterans. They're doing all kinds of great work, aren't they?
That they are. All the chairmen are busy with their various programs. A lot of them are just coming into being, and the word is going out to each post in the state as to what these are. And you try to get the posts active as much as you can with all of them, but we really only ask that they maybe pick one or two that they can really spend some quality time with and promote.
Well, Commander, I hope the second half of your year in office is as good as your first half, and don't wear yourself out.
I tell you what, I've looked at my schedule for the remainder of January into February and March, and there's not going to be a whole lot of dust settling on me.
All right, Commander. Well, we look forward to seeing you again here on Minnesota Military Radio, and best of luck, sir.
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate it, and looking forward.
That was Mike Schaefer, the department commander of the Minnesota American Legion on Minnesota Military Radio. We have one announcement today. A music fest featuring eight local bands will be held at the American Legion Park Ballroom in New Prague on Sunday, February 10th, starting at 1 p.m. All proceeds going toward the development of a veterans memorial in the community. For more information, go to Facebook at New Prague Veterans Memorial Fundraiser. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Wendy Waddell, Mike Schaefer, Commissioner Larry Shelletoe of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we get the latest on a potential deployment for our Red Bulls and learn more about the efforts to fight veteran homelessness. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.